For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Pete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM570LASports. The big stories today, Anthony Davis will play for the Lakers tonight. We found that out. The thumb is okay, so he'll be in action at Staples against the Warriors.
Don't hurt that thumb.
Don't know how long he'll go. Don't really see any reason for him to play, but he's going to play.
For the family in El Monte.
That's true. If you've bought tickets and you want to see AD, you'll get your chance. I think it's more important in the regular season, but nonetheless, he'll be in action tonight. Also, the Angels made it official, and Joe Maddon will become their manager. He's agreed to a 3-year deal, and they will make that announcement officially at a news conference next week. Later on this hour, Mike DiGiovanni, who's covered the Angels for years, will come on. And we'll ask him what that means. What we think it means, it's pretty important. That might be their biggest free agent signing in a decade. The manager doesn't play, but he'll put people in the seats. Obviously,
no,
you don't
it's a
agree.
Great, it's a great signing, absolutely.
Okay, and the other big story of the day, Jalen Ramsey, officially a member of the Rams. They gave up 2 first-round picks and a 4th to get him. Did they give up too much? Did they need an offensive lineman? Vinny will come on this hour as well, and we'll get into that.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob Imrani. He was on today. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're a good person. If you find yourself in any kind of accident, suffer any kind of personal injury, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob.
Now, Dodger fans can attest to the fact that World Series tickets are not necessarily cheap after the last couple of seasons, and rightfully so, especially when you haven't won a championship in 30 years like the Dodgers have. How about the Washington Nationals, who just swept their way through the National Championship Series? They are in their first World Series ever, and right now, on the market, you can purchase yourself a Washington Nationals World Series ticket for $1,225, Fred.
Now, we don't know where that is in the stadium, right?
We do not.
Okay. Are the tickets more expensive here if the Dodgers are in the World Series?
Yes.
I'm being serious. I'm trying to think.
Yes.
They are. So that would be a bargain. That would be a deal.
I'm sure there are deals. A lot cheaper. I mean, again, it goes back to where you're sitting and how much that is.
But this is the average cost, by the way.
The average cost.
You think it was an average of a grand for the Dodgers?
During the World Series?
Yeah. Well, we know what we paid for tickets.
Hmm.
Paid, I said. We didn't get them for free.
Correct. Now, I'll say this. Tickets. There's a stat from SeatGeek, who's a secondary market distributor. In 2017, the Dodgers were in the World Series. The average price of a ticket for that series was $1,296. So a little bit more than what the Nationals are projecting right
around
now.
A grand, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's going to be a hot ticket. And I assure you, unlike when we were there, those fans will be there on time.
You think so?
For the World Series, yeah.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money in D.C., so they're going to spend some money for them tickets.
Yeah.
Never been there before.
It's a great city.
Yeah, it is.
I hear the stadium's excellent, too. Never been in there. But
it's
really
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best stadiums in baseball.
I've heard that. I've definitely heard that.
Enjoyed that.
Now, we talked about Joe Maddon being hired as the Angels' newest manager. 3-year, $12 million contract, reportedly. And Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic reporting, he believes, I don't know if he has any inside sources on this, but he believes, from what he's been told by a couple of executives, that they actually went over the head of general manager Billy Epler, and it was Artie Moreno once again making a baseball decision by deciding to hire Joe Maddon.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Billy Epler didn't make this hire?
No.
Seriously.
Surprisingly, I know, right? Who would ever saw this coming? When has Artie Moreno ever injected himself into the baseball decision-making process? That's never happened before.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why wouldn't Billy Epler? Because I read that Buck Showalter was the runner-up in this competition.
Yeah, Buck Showalter was in the mix. So was Ron Washington. A couple of old-school veteran managers, yes.
You're saying that Billy Epler wanted somebody besides Joe Madden?
That's not that he didn't want, he wanted somebody, but the overwhelming pursuit of Joe Madden and the insistence that Joe Madden be the guy was squarely on the head of Artie Moreno, the owner. It doesn't mean that Billy Epler did not sign off on it and didn't want him.
Wait, who do you say went above Billy Epler?
Artie Moreno, the owner of the team.
No, you said something, they went
this
above.
This is reported from an executive told this to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. That Madden will be given the same powers within the organization as Mike Socia had, which many people believe was over and above the GM.
Was Billy Epler's boss.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. And Billy Epler, by the way, has 1 year left on his contract. They picked up his option this past season for next year. Joe Madden, as I just mentioned, contract for 3 years.
Manager GM?
That won't happen, but in absentia, you know, double secret, you know, I have veto power. Ever tell you the veto power story?
No, but you're going to.
Well, yes, I will. Yes, I think I told this. Nick Clooney, who was George Clooney's father.
Yes.
Was an anchor at Channel 4.
Right.
Do you remember the story at all?
Not in the least bit.
Okay. So Nick Clooney came in from Cincinnati to be our lead anchor. And this is back in the 80s as we were trying different things. And Nick Clooney was a major star in Cincinnati. So he came in and he's the anchor. Everybody always thought it was weird that he would walk around with a little notebook. And whenever anybody was talking or anybody brought anything up, he'd write it down in this notebook. So they were going to make a decision at Channel 4. And Nick Clooney stood up and said, absolutely not. And people looked at him and said, Nick, what are you talking about? Why are you saying no? He goes, because I have veto power. I have veto power. So Nick then goes to our general manager, the late John Rohrbeck, and said, hey, they were trying to do something, and I exercised my veto power. You gave me veto power. And Rohrbeck said to him, no, you had double secret veto power. Once you revealed you had veto power, you no longer had it. That's kind of what goes on with the Angels. You know, Mike Socia, yeah. You have veto power.
Yeah, you have a problem, come upstairs, we'll talk about it, and then we'll get it rectified, but it can't come from you.
Right. If there's an issue, you come to me, and then we'll take care of it, but you don't say anything. Yeah. Maybe that's what Joe Madden's role is going to be with the Angels now. You know, he keeps an eye on everything. If there's a problem, he doesn't say anything. He goes to Artie, and Artie says, all right, well, we'll fix that. We'll take care of it. But it doesn't bode well for Billy Epler.
Sure doesn't.
And it's really disappointing to hear that, yeah. To be honest with you, because sitting here, not in Orange County, we knew the guy to hire was Joe Madden.
Yeah, but so did Epler and so did Madden. I mean, so did Artie Moreno. So maybe, I mean, that's not saying, as Kevin said, it's not saying that Epler or Madden wasn't Epler's first choice. He's not saying that. He's just saying that ultimately this is the guy Artie Moreno wanted, and he got him. And regardless of what happened with anybody else in the organization, Artie Moreno was going to get Joe Madden.
Smart.
But now you're saying, and Fred, you're creating it, that
what
Epler wanted Buck Showalter instead of Joe Madden, and now there's a controversy in Orange County.
That's what I heard, Rodney.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe.
Now, I don't know if you have any beef with Ty Dolla $ign, Fred. I know you have beef with Joe Button. But our friend Arash Markazi just tweeted this out a couple of minutes ago. So the Clippers actually announced a partnership with Ty Dolla $ign. He's going to perform at halftime of opening night next week against the Lakers, so that's exciting. He's also going to release a clothing line that has a Clipper logo, but also has Ty Dolla $ign's logo on it as well. So a bit of a collaboration between one of the hottest rappers/producers out there right now and the LA Clippers.
Team of
the streets.
I'm very... Very big.
Arash had a problem with it?
No, Arash just reported it.
Oh, okay.
He tweeted it. Arash has no issue with it.
I was about to get on the phone with Arash because I'm not going to sit here and let Arash talk about Ty Dolla $ign like that.
Don't beat up on Arash today. No, okay. Not today.
No, we'll do that next week.
Right.
No, I like Dolla $ign.
All you guys are on the last name basis. You just call him Dolla $ign. You leave the tie out.
Normally, I just call him Dollar. Why is that unusual?
What do you call Damian Lillard then? If you call, you know, he's named Dollar. You call Ty Dolla Dolla too?
Right. I call Ty Dolla Dolla. I call Damian Lillard Dame.
whatever you say, Fred.
So, Fred, what do you call 50 cent then? Quarter?
Two quarter.
Now, I just saw this. This literally just came across my desk like 3 minutes ago. So, okay. Miles Garrett. Yeah. Defensive end for the Cleveland Browns.
Right. Yep.
Got out of his car, and this may have happened at a certain point with you, Rodney. You're leaving the stadium, and fans come up and say, hey, let me get a picture. It's Rodney Pete. He's the quarterback of the team.
I can neither confirm or deny this, Kevin.
You haven't even heard yet. Wait.
That's why I'm saying it.
So Miles trying to be, you know, the nice player that he is. He gets out of the car and says, sure, I'll take a photo with you. The photo gets snapped, and then gets punched right in the face.
He did.
Miles Garrett got punched by the fan.
The guy took a picture of him, then punched him in the face.
Was it a selfie picture? Or somebody else take the picture?
I think someone else took the picture. This is what Miles Garrett tweeted out. He says, "A quote unquote fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with me, and then punched me in my face. He said, put your legs into it next time. It might have actually made me flinch." With a thumbs up emoji. He said, "I was in my car. He flagged me down for a picture. I cracked the window enough for the camera to get to my face. Took the pic, and he gave me a pillow tap." Miles Garrett, if you haven't seen him or stood next to him, he's huge and chiseled and.
What was the guy look like that took the picture?
I don't know.
Didn't
say.
Or hit him, yeah.
He didn't describe it. Miles did not describe it.
Who does
it.
That?
This is literally something he just
tweeted
out. Seriously,
who does that?
Someone who is suffering from insanity.
Who wants a death wish?
I'm telling you. What if Miles Garrett jumped up and said, really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
You hit me first.
Hey, you hit me first.
Yep.
I'm defending myself.
And it's on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? What kind of lunatic would do that?
And then everybody comes down on Miles Garrett.
Because he punched me in the face.
Yeah.
Over-aggressive athlete, attacks fan.
All that.
You already know it's coming.
Yeah, but he got punched in the face.
Right.
What's wrong with people?
Anybody ever punch you?
I bet not.
Weekdays at noon.
Fred Rogan and Rodney P.
After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, yeah, Rodney P, Fred Rogan. Fred, this is Jose Feliciano right here.
Feliz Navidad.
No, it's Chico and the Man.
Chico and the Man.
Oh, he's so talented. He can do this and also play quarterback for the XFL team.
There you go.
Wildcats. Tell you what.
And he's blind.
If you try, which makes it more challenging when he throws that out route.
A little bit.
Yeah. You can lend a helping hand. So I made a mistake. I thought this was the quarterback of the XFL Los Angeles Wildcats.
Did you watch Chico and the Man back in the day?
I did.
Yeah, I like Chico and the Man.
Jack Albertson and
Freddie Prinze?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, it was great. And wasn't that the same time Sanford and Son was on?
Sanford and Son was
all
on.
All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Jeffersons.
All of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when they were all on. Okay, bottom of the hour, we'll get more into Joe Madden. Mike DiGiovanna, who covered the team for years, will join us and give us some insight. But now, let's talk about the Rams' move with Jalen Ramsey. Our buddy Vinny Bonsignor jumps on. And Vinny, we have to say congratulations right off the top.
Well, thank you very much.
You don't even know why we're
congratulating. Any way I can get it.
You don't even know why we're congratulating you.
When I hear congratulations, I'm always happy. So whatever it is, I'll take credit for it.
Take credit for this. You were sitting here yesterday, and we talked about Marcus Peters being traded. And you sat here and said that could mean something about Jalen Ramsey. And an hour later, it was announced that the Rams had acquired Jalen Ramsey, which by all accounts is a great move, except he doesn't play left guard. So the offensive line seems to be more of a concern.
Not being a hater, Fred.
Not being a hater. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, there's no question that they need to get better at offensive guard. They just made a change, actually. We were just talking to offensive line coach Aaron Cromer. They're going to start David Edwards, the rookie from Wisconsin. Jamel Demby had been holding down the fort in No Boom's absence, but they're going to go to the rookie now. So there are obviously searching for answers along the offensive line. They haven't gotten strong play across the board, whether you're talking about Andrew Whitworth or Rob Havenstein, their two veterans, the young players in the interior. And they need to get back to what they do because that's where it all starts for their offense. But as far as Jalen Ramsey, while he doesn't play left guard, he's a guy that you could just put out there on an island and have a real strong confidence level that he's going to wipe somebody off the face of that football field and then you can go ahead and do whatever else you want with guys, whether it's sending safeties and blitz packages or linebackers, whatever the case may be, knowing that you've got Jalen Ramsey over there, you know, taking care of Julio Jones and the kind of wide receivers that you see on a week-to-week basis in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. I applaud that because when you got a guy like that that obviously wanted to get out of Jacksonville looking for a trade, and you got a guy that can lock it down like he can, I'm impressed by the Red because they don't hesitate. They go get the guy that they think that can make a difference, and this guy's definitely a difference maker.
Well, put it this way, Rodney, and you played quarterback, so you've dealt with this type of situation before. Jalen Ramsey is cut from the same cloth as your Deion Sanders, your Champ Bailey's. He's that good. There's no question about it. When you played against guys like that, did you even really look to their side? You were probably looking to work completely away from those guys because they're liable to take it to the house or just, you know, have your guy covered. So it changes what you do as a quarterback, and that's what the Rams are hoping that is going to happen moving forward with Jalen Ramsey, but also it allows Wade Phillips to do what he does, and that's create pressure all over the field. Again, whether it's linebackers or safeties, you can have more confidence in doing that when you know you have the best player on the opposing offense, the best wide receiver, locked down.
And it fits. And it fits what Wade wants to do. I mean, he wants to bring pressure. He wants to play man-to-man. And if you don't have man-to-man corners, you know, you can't play the style in which he wants to play.
Yeah, no question. And all due respect to Marcus Peters, and he's a good player for what he does. He's more of a zone type corner, and he'll go to a system, whether it's in Baltimore or moving forward, you know, as a free agent, he'll go someplace that plays that type of system. That's not what the Rams did. They were hopeful that he was going to be a lockdown corner. That turned out to be not the case. They had to switch what they were doing defensively to accommodate him. Now they could go back to doing what they want to do, and it's exactly what you said, Rodney. They're going to be able to play man-to-man coverage and be more aggressive defensively with Wade Phillips and his blitz packages.
But Vinny, so let's look down the road. His deal's up and he wants to get paid. Let's say he wants to make $20 million a year. Is that a good investment for the Rams?
Well, put it this way, you know, before making this trade, general manager, you know, Les Snead, he talked with Jalen Ramsey, talked to Jalen Ramsey's agents. So they have a pretty good idea of, you know, what it's going to take and what the commitment level will have to be financially moving forward, but also, you know, gauging his interest in wanting to be here full term. And you know, you'd almost have to be naive to think that, you know, they would have pulled the trigger on this trade without having the confidence that they could pull the trigger on the other part of it, which is locking him down full time. Normally, I wouldn't say, you know, it's a wise investment to pay that kind of money to a cornerback, but you're talking about the equivalent of an Aaron Donald at defensive tackle or a Khalil Mack at outside linebacker. You're talking about probably the best player at his position in the NFL. So there's times where you have to make that kind of a commitment because the player is just so good that he warrants it. And I think in this case, Jalen Ramsey fits that bill.
Yeah, and I said this earlier in the show that I, you know, had an opportunity to play with some great defensive coordinators along the way, and they always talked about having a stud at all three levels on defense and having that premier defensive lineman, that linebacker that was a stud, and the guy in the secondary that was a stud. And now they certainly have, you know, two of those guys. How are they feeling about linebacker in that situation?
Well, then, you know, they like Corey Littleton. I think they'll re-sign him. He's a high level. He's probably not an all-pro caliber guy. Where they're going to need to really, you know, take a look, and I don't know exactly how you go about doing this, but they're going to need somebody off the edge to create pressure. And that was Clay Matthews. He was leading the team in sacks with six. I just saw him walk past me just a minute ago. He's still, you know, dealing with the broken jaw, so they'll get him back hopefully in a couple of games.
Tell him to tape it up and get back out there, man.
I know exactly. It's frustrating.
That's what we do, USC Trojans. That's what we do.
you don't need to talk. You just need to go tackle the
exactly.
But so they'll get him back eventually. But moving forward, even more importantly than that, because you don't know how much longer, you know, Clay is going to play. They're going to have to find somebody at that level. And how do you do that? You're not going to have a first-round pick for the next couple of years. So it's going to have to be either in free agency or you hope that you develop somebody. But right now, the way they look at it is, okay, we don't have that at the highest of levels. But we have Aaron Donald, we have Jalen Ramsey, and that's a pretty good starting point for when you're talking about, you know, building your defense or maintaining your defense. They feel pretty good about where they are right now defensively and moving forward. Although, you know, unfortunately, you just lose John Johnson, the safety. It looks like he's going to be out an extended period of time, if not the whole season. He's going to be undergoing shoulder surgery here in the next couple of days. So you can pretty much, you know, take a pen and cross him off the list probably for the rest of the year. So you're going to have to figure things out at safety. So, you know, a lot of moving parts right now for the Rams, but, and they're not giving up on this season. You know, they still have their focus on this year, but the moves that they made yesterday are, trust me, they're not just for 2019. They're looking ahead to 2020, 2021 as well. And the way the season has gone, some of the injuries that they've incurred have expanded their thinking and their vision beyond just this year. They have to start really thinking about the years ahead.
Before we let you go, Vinny, what about Todd Gurley for this week? Do you think he'll play?
He practiced. He's going to practice later today. He went through the walkthrough earlier today, so that's a pretty good sign, you know, that he's on target to play. But, you know, you're going to have to see how he gets through today and then how he gets through on Thursday before, you know, get on a plane and heading to Atlanta. But they definitely want him to play, and they need him to play because Malcolm Brown, you know, he's still hobbled with an ankle injury. He's day-to-day right now. So beyond that, it's just Daryl Henderson, the rookie, and John Kelly, the second-year running back who spent most of this year on the practice squad. So it would look a lot better for them if number 30 was running out onto the field in Atlanta. But we'll have to wait and see if that's going to be the case.
All right, Vinny, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a good one.
You too. There he goes, Vinny Bonsignor, all over the Rams. You know, Rodney, some execs did say in the National Football League this smelled of desperation by the Rams to make this move, and that they're going big. Kevin Demoff told us, you know, we go big or we go home. They're going big. They're spending a lot of money now, and they're certainly not afraid. Do you think this was some sort of Hail Mary by the Rams?
No, I don't think so. I think they're looking at it better to do it now than try to wait. It's still early in the season. They've dropped some games and, you know, fallen behind Seattle and San Francisco. So I think that they still look at it as a season that they can still win the NFC West. And to do that, they got to have some players. And they got a guy that defensively can stop people. And I look at it as they're not giving up on this season. They're trying to make a difference right here, right now in 2019. So I don't think it's a Hail Mary. I think it's a smart move.
Anthony Davis playing tonight was one of the big stories. Jalen Ramsey, another big story of the day. And the Angels coming to terms on a 3-year deal with Joe Maddon. Let's bring on the man that has covered the Angels, knows him better than anybody, Mike DiGiovanna. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. You know, I think, and you covered the Angels for years, this might be their most important free agent signing in the last 20 years. Joe Maddon is the guy that could put people in the seats, even though Mike Trout really couldn't.
Yeah. Mike Trout was pretty important signing. Gerrit Cole might be a pretty important signing if they can get him. But, you know, when you look at the state of the franchise right now, and as you said, I've probably been covering this team pretty closely for almost 30 years. I cannot remember a combination of upheaval and turmoil when you consider all the fallout from the Tyler Skaggs death and all of it that entails, you know, and the firing of the manager, the pitching coach, the general manager is going into the last year of his contract. There's just so much turmoil and upheaval, and Joe Maddon, I'm not going to say he's the only guy, but he certainly seems to me to have all the attributes to step into a situation like that, be able to manage a team, you know, keep the distractions at a minimum, keep the focus on baseball, help the guys relax, you know. Look at his track record. I mean, he went to Tampa Bay, took a team that had never won anything to the World Series, went to Chicago, took a team that hadn't won a World Series in, what, over 100 years, brought them to the championship. You know, he's got a really good track record. I've known him personally for 3 decades. It just seems like he's the right guy at the right time for this team.
Yeah, I think so too. Are we seeing a trend with Joe Maddon? You just mentioned his track record. I don't know why he got out of Chicago and let him go, but we're seeing a lot of the young guys, including with the Angels, the Phillies, you know, the analytic driven, you know, front office with the manager attached to it. Are we seeing a different trend? Because not only Joe Maddon, but we're hearing Dusty Baker's name come up again. Is this a new trend happening in baseball?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. We'll see what happens with some of these other openings. But, I mean, goodness, we've skewed so far toward the analytics and, you know, the computers and the scouts being let go and sort of the human element, human touch, you know, away from that part of the game. Maybe this is what baseball needs, a little pendulum swing back to the old school. I don't want to call it old school as much as maybe old school sensibilities, you know, like when's the last time you've seen a non-pitcher in a National League game bunt, you know, a hit and run, a stolen base. There's a lot of things in the game that I think is still pretty valid and useful. And if you look back at some of the championship teams, especially like the Angels, you know, you go back to the first decade of this century under Mike Scioscia, you could say they played the game the right way. And the Angels have certainly gotten away from that. A lot of teams have, maybe with some of these moves in the manager's chair, we might start to see a little swing back toward that. And I would welcome that personally.
Well, the thing about Madden, though, he was in Tampa with Andrew Friedman. He goes to Chicago, Theo Epstein. He still had access to those numbers, Mike. I mean, he still had the analytics in front of him.
Well, yeah, that was the interesting thing about Joe, and I remember writing a lot about this at the time. He was one of those guys who was able to blend a lot of the new analytics that were coming into the game in, you know, the mid-2000s. How do we refer to that decade? The mid-aughts? I don't know, but, you know, he was sort of on the – I remember writing that he was like one of the guys on the cutting edge of a lot of the new age analytics, but he was always able to combine, you know, the numbers with the sensibilities of a guy who'd been in the game for, you know, 30, 35 years, who had coached in the minor leagues, coached in the big leagues in so many different capacities, and had the sort of the wherewithal and the capacity to deal with the human element of the game. You know, a lot of this game is building confidence, communicating, you know, building team camaraderie. You see a lot of that in spring training with some of the team building exercises that Scioscia did all those years and that Joe's done with his team. So I think it takes so much more than a guy who can just crunch numbers and, you know, get the right matchups with a bullpen later in the game, although that's certainly important. It takes a lot more to manage a team these days than a guy like that.
Yeah, obviously, in managing personalities, that's a big piece of it. And I don't think, you know, everybody wants to bash a little bit right now, especially Dave Roberts, based on how they finish. But managing personalities has got to be a big piece of it. And Joe seems to be able to have that rapport with the players. You mentioned, you know, obviously Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, but you also mentioned that they may make a run at Gerrit Cole. Is pitching, and more specifically, I guess, starting pitching, the biggest need for the Angels?
I'm not going to say it's the only need, but if you listed starting pitching as a top three, you might not be wrong. Yeah, I mean, totally. They need Gerrit Cole as much as they need Joe Maddon this winter. And if they could somehow get him and, you know, one of those, I don't want to call him second tier, but when you're comparing them next to Gerrit Cole, unfortunately they are, maybe a Hyun-Jin Ryu on a short-term deal, a Zach Wheeler, some of these other, there's some pretty attractive other free agent starters out there who are going to be available. They need two guys. They don't just need one guy, but it would certainly help to start with that one. They have not had really since, I can't even really put Garrett Richards in this class because he was never healthy. Really since Jared Weaver in his prime, they have not had a number one starting pitcher. And that's going back a long time now. Maybe Bartolo Colon back in, you know, when he won the Cy Young in 2005. They just haven't had that kind of hammer at the front of the rotation. That's a huge priority. And I think you could look at the team from a position player standpoint and say, okay, you know, there's probably a pretty decent core here with Trout and Andrelton Simmons, you know, David Fletcher. I don't know what they'll do with Cole Calhoun. Certainly they need to shore up some of that. They need a catcher. But they have some pieces in the bullpen that are very workable. Maybe one ad there, one or two ads there would help. But I just don't think they're that far off if they can get, you know, starting pitching.
Mike DiGiovanna with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. You wrote this morning in the Times about the investigation concerning Tyler Skaggs' death. You were kind enough to quote some of the information we had on our show yesterday with Eric Kay's attorney. You mentioned that other Angels have been contacted and have talked to the DEA. What are they trying to find here?
I think it's sort of a routine part of their investigation, just like any workplace situation. You know, they want to talk to the people who are closest to Tyler Skaggs. And, you know, a guy like Andrew Heaney was certainly his best friend. You know, some of the pitchers in there hung out with him a lot. So they're just trying to gather information, you know, trying to get a feel for whether this use of opiates was really widespread in the clubhouse, whether it was really contained to one or two or however many players, how the drugs were procured, although we seem to know that, you know, according to Eric Kay, he was a guy supplying a lot of them. But, you know, were these taken on the team plane? Did anybody know of the drug use? Was anybody told? Did anybody tell their superiors? You know, sort of that information flow, if there was any information. And you know, with the feds, they're looking primarily at you know, the supplier chain, especially as it pertains to fentanyl. They're probably not so much concerned with what we're going to see in a wrongful death suit later on down the road. You know, I think in that case, you know, the Skaggs family is going to just try to prove that somebody in the Angels knew, they should have known, and that they should have gotten Tyler into the treatment program at some point over the last few years, and maybe this could have been avoided.
Isn't this got the potential, or doesn't this have the potential of getting really bad if it comes out that the Angels knew this before his death?
Oh, completely, yeah. You know, once the depositions start flying, you never know what's going to happen. I could easily see, you know, Artie Moreno, the owner of the team, trying to settle this before it gets to that, if they do feel like there's some culpability on their part. But if there is, you can easily see, you know, Rusty Harden and the attorneys for the Skaggs family going hard. You know, if they can prove that somebody knew and should have done something more, you know, if they were aware of Tyler's problem as it's been portrayed, yeah, I mean, they're going to have a pretty strong case in my view. So, yeah, it's probably going to get uglier before it gets better, for sure.
You know, the thing, though, that I wonder is, let's say, for the purposes of the conversation, they asked him. Let's say they suspected, somebody asked him, and he goes, I don't have that problem. No, because
that's a good question.
If you're an addict, the thing is, you're not going to admit it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was scanning the joint drug agreement yesterday. It's a pretty long document. I've read it before, but it's been a little while. I do think if they have probable cause to believe a guy is using drugs of abuse, a major leaguer, they can force him to be drug tested. I can't remember the exact wording, but I'm pretty sure they can. And then at that point, if there's a positive test, there's all sorts of that would trigger a player going down a whole nother track of treatment, maybe even rehab, things like that. So I think the team would have had power to force him to take a test. So yeah, once again, did that happen? I don't know at this point. I'm not sure anybody knows, but that's the kind of stuff that will come out in whether it's subpoena, deposition, you know, in interviews with federal investigators. That's the kind of stuff they're going to be looking for.
All right. Mike, we...
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An L.A. icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570 L.A. Sports.
All right. All right, baby, light my fire. There you go. Thank you, Ronnie.
I feel like I have to remind you of who he is.
Yeah. No, I got it.
Okay.
Quarterback for the XFL Los Angeles Wildcats.
That's it.
Jose Feliciano.
I'm just glad he didn't come back with Marky Mark, because that's your boy Mark Wahlberg, Fred.
So we're talking to Mark Wahlberg.
Mookie Betts. The Red Sox want to move it. Going to be a free agent after 2020. Going to make a lot of money, and they want to reduce payroll. They're doing what the Dodgers... Well, they're trying to manage their payroll. Now, the Dodgers have payroll flexibility because of the way they've managed it. And the Red Sox want to build their team very much like the Dodgers have through scouting and development. By the way, the Cubs are going to do the same thing. So Mookie Betts would be available. Now, if you make a move for Mookie Betts, you better believe you're going to sign him too. That's another part of it. And he's going to make an awful lot of money. Is Mookie Betts fit with the Dodgers, Rodney?
I think he would. Yeah, absolutely. I think just the way he plays, his style, from all accounts, I don't know him well, but he's a good dude, a good guy. And he plays defense, and he can swing the bat with anybody.
He can run.
And he can run. Yeah, he would certainly be a fit, not only for the Dodgers, for anybody, really. But yeah, you know, it always all comes down to, you know, what he eventually going to have to pay him, which is going to be they're going to have to back the truck up for him because he's going to warrant that.
$30 million a year, maybe?
Maybe.
Would you pay him $30 million a year for 5 years?
Maybe.
27 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what are your priorities? You know, is it getting that starting pitching or getting a starting pitcher and a bullpen guy? You know, the Dodgers are one of the few teams that are loaded in the outfield. I mean, remember, they're going to get Alex Verdugo back, you know, with Cody Bellinger out there. And then, you know, do you move Jock Peterson or not? But you still have Kike and Chris Taylor and, you know, Beatty. You got young guys that can play that are coming up through your system. Is that a move that you actually need to make? He's going to make any team better. Let's not get anybody, you know, confused about that. Mookie Betts is a great player. I think top five in the league. But as the Dodgers, is that your need as opposed to pitching?
No, I get that. And keep this in mind. When you speak of pitching, the Red Sox want low-cost, high-impact pitching. So if you were to make this move, you may have to surrender Dustin May and Jock Peterson and maybe somebody else. Is that price too steep?
No, I don't think that price is too steep. You know, I know you earlier said throw Corey Seager in the mix. I think that price is too steep. Dustin May, I think he can't had flashes this year. I know they got high hopes for him in the system. I think he will be a very good pitcher, very live arm. But you're getting a proven guy, and Mookie Betts is a difference maker. So I can understand it.
You know what we forgot? AJ Pollock. He's still there.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he was missing during the playoffs, but he's still there.
There's still an APB out.
Yeah, they'll find him.
Yeah,
by spring training.
Yeah, we'll see. But you know, to the Red Sox, if I'm a player on the Red Sox, you just won the World Series a year ago. I'm upset. I'm like, why are we doing it? What are we doing? Don't you want to win multiple? Don't you want to win multiple World Series? I get okay, we're going a whole different direction. But that, as a player, would piss me off that we got there 1-1, now we're going to break up the whole thing.
Well, you want to do it in a cost-effective manner.
Yeah, but come on. Don't you want to be Houston going to be in the conversation for years to come?
Yeah, and they will be.
And they will be.
In years to come, but not right now.
Yeah, but who knows they're going to get back there again. They just won it with a very dominant team and a dominant performance. Now you're breaking it all up. That's good enough. We'll win again in 12 years.
Kind of what they did with the Detroit Lions.
Kind of what they did with the Lions.
Never won a Super Bowl.
Once you make a playoff, then you get rid of everybody.
Right.
And we won't make it again for 7 years.
Yeah, but that's okay. The fans will be happy we made it that year.
Yeah.
All right, tomorrow it's a one-hour sprint for us because I believe we have UCLA football, right? All right. We've got those Bruins on Big AM 570 tomorrow. Petros and Muddy are next.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.